You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. I know I usually have my same old spiel when I start the show, but we're going to change it up a little bit because actually what I usually start off with is talking about rating and commenting on the show, and lo and behold, I got my first one-star review. You should have seen me because I was shocked. First of all, that someone even actually left a written review. For some reason, people only seem to leave the star rating and not an actual comment. But I don't want to give this too much like airway or airplay or whatever, because clearly something was going on with this person when they decided to, or when they stumbled upon my podcast. So I can't really fault them for how they feel. And honestly, I mean, everyone's not going to like everything that I have to say, or the style that I say things in, or the style that I run this show. I've said from the very beginning, the show's called Currently Binging because I watch a lot of TV and movies and I love talking about them. And so this person, which is so funny to me because you guys know I say at the beginning of every single show, if you are listening for the first time, or even if you've been listening for a while, to take a few seconds on whatever platform you're listening on and leave a rating or a review or both, as in rate the star rating in the comment, because that will help me out and I'll know what you guys like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of, and all that good stuff. So this person, for some reason, y'all, okay, because you know this is the first episode of 2020 from Currently Binging, because I have been waiting for the show we are discussing to wrap up so I can talk about it. And January is pretty slow anyway in general for TV and movies, because everyone's like on break, starting to come back, and then movies that are released are not really that great. But the last episode I put out literally on the last day of 2019 was my season 2 discussion on You. You guys know, if you have been listening for a while, and I say that all the time, but there are literally, I can look at the, like, at least how many people like click on the episode or download the episode or whatever. There are a consistent number of people who have at least subscribed to my show and who I'm assuming listen to the show because it's saying that someone's clicked it to play it. So I am assuming that of all the people on a monthly basis who listen to my podcast, that there have to be repeat listeners in there. And so I don't know where you guys are at and why you guys aren't leaving ratings or comments. I actually like ask that if you do listen to my podcast on multiple occasions, or even if this is your first time and you genuinely like what you're listening to, and or you just like this one episode that you stumbled on and you're like, oh, that was a cool episode, leave a rating, leave a comment, because I feel like it's so funny that you can ask people to rate or comment if they like the show and they won't, but the people who don't like something will rate. And so let's get into this comment. I feel like this is not going to be a tangent. We're going to keep this short because you guys came for the actual real discussion. But this person, I'm not going to read verbatim what they said. I'm just going to give you like high level, but essentially it was a one rating review titled Spoiler Alert. And they clearly listened to the You episode because they felt some type of way because I essentially talked so much about the books that the show was based on. I spoiled the books for whoever was listening, and I barely even talked about the show, and also that I was so confused. They don't understand why I was so confused. So to me, that means you clearly, first of all, you listened to the whole episode. So therefore, if you just did not want to listen to me, you could have like hopped out at any point, because you guys know my episodes are a pretty good length of time. So if you didn't really enjoy the episode, you could have bounced, but you decided to listen to the whole thing. So I don't understand where the confusion or the disconnect was. Clearly you didn't go back and listen to my season 1 discussion about You. And clearly that you're a first time listener, because if you have listened to my podcast discussions on books or movies based or on TV shows or movies based on books, and if I have read those books, I genuinely spend a good chunk of time comparing the movie or TV show to the book. I also say that my podcast is full of spoilers. So if I'm talking about the book, if I'm talking about the TV show, if I'm talking about the movies, you're going to get spoiled. Also, you for the most part followed the books. So I don't know. And I was talking to someone because I was like, maybe it's just me. But if I watch something, I don't read the books, I usually don't go back and read the books because I feel like I already know what's going to happen. And I asked a few people this because like, I don't want to misspeak if I'm the only one who feels this way. And pretty much everyone who I asked said that they genuinely don't go back and read the books if they never read the books but watched the movie or the TV show. So I'm sorry that you felt the way that you felt. Hopefully you will come back and listen to another episode and get a little more context into how things are done on the currently binging podcast show. But I mean, expect spoilers. If something's based on the book and I've read that book, expect spoilers. I'm going to compare it because I mean, that's the fun part of watching slash reading it in its various formats. Also, why was I confused? Well, I said I was confused in the beginning because I was assuming, since the first season was so closely related to the first book, that the second season of You would be so closely related to the book. So when we first started and it kind of started differently, I was a little bit confused because it was different from how the book started. And so therefore I was like, oh wait, are these the same characters or are these new characters? Which I explained in that episode. So to Against It Is Me, I'm sorry you felt the way you felt. Hopefully you'll come back and listen to something else and leave a better review. But for those of you who have not left reviews, also, they claim to say, because I had 5-star ratings, that all my friends rated my podcast. If that was the case, my gosh, I would have more than 8 reviews, let me tell you. Also, I've said this before, but this podcast transitioned into a different podcast. So originally it started off with a different name and it was me and it was co-hosted and my co-host was my sister and we talked about stuff completely different from what I talk about now. And then I just use the same because we still talked about TV shows and movies, but kind of at a high level. And I just transitioned it into currently binging. So some of those reviews came from when the podcast was Glam Deets, but majority of the reviews came from when it transitioned into currently binging. And I mean, it's still less than 10 reviews, but either way, I wish they were my friends. I have asked friends multiple times to if they listen to rate, and like I have friends who have listened but they have never rated. So I mean, I wish that was the case because I would have more than 8 reviews. But I'm glad that you think that highly of my friends. So with that being said, let's get into what you came for. You guys, I think this is a first, but we are actually about to discuss a reality TV show, and you guys know how I feel about reality TV shows. We are discussing The Circle, Netflix new hit, yes I said hit, reality show, which is pretty much supposed to be a social media experiment. And you guys, it's so funny because, so this dropped on January 1st and actually, because I haven't been here since January started and like January is halfway done already, oh my gosh, but for New Year's Eve, me and friends, like we've done this for the past couple years now, went to dinner and then we did a sleepover and then we usually on New Year's Day do vision boards and all that stuff. And so while we were doing that, it's always like, oh, what do we watch? And we usually try to find something on Netflix. And it takes us a long time for us all to align on one thing to watch, but somehow we landed on The Circle. And you guys know, I am not a big reality TV show person, and there are multiple reasons for it. One, I've watched a lot of reality TV in my life, like up until about 2010. That was majority of what I watched outside of like scripted TV show. So I would say it was about split 50-50 reality TV shows and then scripted shows. And then around 2011, it just seemed like everything started getting repetitive. Everyone was really pushing like people fighting on TV and all that. And for some reason, it was really heavily affecting me being able to watch the show. Then I end up at a job that ended up being on a reality TV show. So I got to see the behind the scenes of a reality TV show. And that 100% killed reality TV for me. So now you guys know the only thing that I watch is The Challenge on MTV, because I've been watching it since it was Real World Road Rules Challenge. So that's the only reality TV show. Oh, and I also watch Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, only the Hollywood franchise or part of that franchise. So those are the only two reality, and I'm using quotes, reality TV shows that I watch. Other than that, I don't watch anything. And so for this show, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna like this. The concept seems so weird, because we watched the trailer and I was just like, so they're gonna have all these people in rooms by themselves talking to TV screens. This just does not make sense to me. I just don't see how or why I would be interested and want to watch this. So we put it on and they were like, oh, new episodes are gonna drop every Wednesday and they're gonna drop 4 episodes at a time and there are 12 episodes. So I was like, okay, whatever. So we got through, I think, the first 2 episodes, and it was kind of like slow going. It was like, okay, I mean, still don't really understand it. I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know. And I don't know if it was because I was half paying attention to the screen / half doing my vision board, but I was just like, I don't know. I don't know. And so by the time we ended up leaving my friend's house, we were kind of halfway. We ended up on a cliffhanger. And if it's a good cliffhanger, like it gotta be a good cliffhanger for me to want to come back and find out what the end result is. So we were left on a cliffhanger. I was like, okay, maybe like when I get home, I'll watch it, because I mean, we still had the rest of the week of working from home. So I was like, I have time to watch things. So I went home and I continued watching the first 4 episodes, and I just, every episode kept getting drawn further and further in, to the point where by episode 4 and the cliffhanger on episode 4, I was 100% hooked, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I have to find out what happens. And so therefore I watched the entire season. Like, I have been putting people onto this show because I feel like it would kind of flew under the radar because it dropped on New Year's Day. And I mean, yeah, people could be at home and not like, and wanting something to watch. But at least for me, I guess it depends on what it would recommend to you. Because The Circle for me, because of, I'm assuming what I watch and the algorithm that Netflix has for me, it's not very, like, they're not going to very apparently promote reality TV shows to me because I don't really watch them on Netflix. I literally had to like search for it through one of the sliders that they have. And so I was like, everyone I've been telling, like, do you watch The Circle? Oh my gosh, you need to watch The Circle. And people have literally been watching it and then messaging me and be like, oh my gosh, this show, I cannot. My sister also watches it, and we literally going back and forth, just hooked on this show. And so that kind of brings me, because you guys now have notes, that kind of brings me into some of what I want to get into. So The Circle was filmed in Manchester, England. And so it's based, it launched in the UK first. And I'm kind of, I don't want to misspeak, because I read one article that said that the US version was filmed first, but the UK version aired first. But then I read another article that said the season 1 of the UK version was in 2018. So I was like, that doesn't even make sense. And then I read another article that was like, this was filmed during August and September of 2019. So I'm going to assume that the UK version was filmed first, and then it aired, and then they did the UK version. And I also was reading the article, and they were saying that one of the key differences is that for the UK, it actually, the audience or the viewers were involved and participated. And so it was kind of like, it kind of sounds like a Big Brother thing, even though I've never watched Big Brother. I don't understand Big Brother. I tried to watch Big Brother when Tamar was on there. I was just like, I just do not understand this show, which is why I was surprised that I actually ended up liking The Circle. But I feel like they kind of had did it differently, which is why we'll get into that in a minute. But They were saying that the viewers actually get to participate. So it was kind of like a live thing that they had like one day participation, or it aired each day or something like that. And then whatever the viewers like determined or voted on had consequences on the actual show, which I think is interesting. But because Netflix is a streaming service and that's the network that the show dropped on, then I mean, I don't know how they would really do that. I also think it's interesting that this type of a show dropped on Netflix, which is a streaming service, because yes, it still had like a weekly drop, so every Wednesday, but essentially it was only 3 weeks of weekly drops because they dropped 4 episodes at a time. So it still kind of had that binging type of aspect to it, which made it super interesting because, you know, Netflix shows or streaming shows in general, shows that are created to be streamed in large quantities, are good for having their episodes end on really good cliffhangers. And then it's just like, oh, it rolls into the next one. It's like you don't miss a beat. And the biggest thing draw for me for The Circle were the cliffhangers, because I genuinely started to care about these people who we're going to talk about in a minute. And I genuinely wanted to know what was going to happen next, to the point of like, I was talking at the screen, like they could hear me. I was talking at the screen, cracking up, laughing, shouting, like all that stuff. Like this show, from the concept and seeing the trailer, you're like, oh, this seems crazy. I'm going to sit here and watch a bunch of people talk to the TV screen and they're all separated. It doesn't make sense. But you eventually just get drawn into it and you feel like you're actually there. So I thought that was a really good thing about the whole like kind of concept of the show. So the concept of the show is you have 8 players at a time. Or is it 7 players at a time? Because then it increased to 8. So you have 7 players at a time in this very tech-savvy building, which is also why they filmed this in Manchester, England, because they already had the building with all of this advanced tech in it. And you're listening to this because you watched the show. Also, you're going to be spoiled, but you watched the show. So you know they have all this very high tech in there. They could talk text to the screen to their fellow players. There were like secured cameras in every single room, which I thought was kind of fascinating because it was like even the bathroom had the cameras in there. I was like, is there any privacy? What is the deal here? And I've seen so much film of people brushing their teeth. I was just like, oh my gosh. But either way, so that's why they filmed there, because they already had like those spaces built. And so there are 10 apartments in the room that are fitted to be filmed on The Circle. And each room has an empty apartment between them. And all the rooms are soundproof, so they don't even know who's in the room. And there's technically no one in the room next to them. Also, because a question that I had while watching this, when they were going to all the common areas, like going to the rooftop, going to the yoga room to work out, all that stuff, was like, how do they not run into each other? And so they had someone who was kind of like a... I can't think of the word, so we're going to use mediator, who essentially would walk each person down to wherever they were going and make sure only one person was moving between rooms at a time. They could not leave the building unless they needed to go smoke. And again, only one person at a time. So it was like very, very structured. They had a therapist on hand in case anyone needed to talk to someone, because I mean, you are in the show was filmed from, what was it, September to August. And I believe the executive producer said that they filmed for like 3 weeks. So, I mean, that's a significant amount of time to be in an apartment on your own. So they did have a therapist on hand if they needed to talk to someone. They did also interact with the crew members, and they had cut off time so that they can make sure everyone got their sleep and all that stuff. Also, the food, which was another question. I had like random questions that surprisingly I found an article where they interviewed, I think it was Decider, where they interviewed the EP whose name is Tim Harcourt. And he like answered a bunch of questions that I randomly had while watching it. But as far as food, because I'm like, everyone has like pretty, what's the word? specialized food to them, it seemed like. And so essentially, and also read an interview with Joey in it, and that he was saying, like, you essentially gave a list to someone and you would get, like, your food, your groceries delivered every day. If you needed laundry or clothes or whatever, like, you give them that list and, like, it will show up at your door. So, I mean, very interesting, like, behind the scenes kind of tidbit. But let's get into the show. Let's talk about the people, because that's essentially, I think, is the great part about this show, is the people, because they're not they're interacting with each other, but kind of in their siloed ways or in their siloed rooms. But then they're still able to not only make these really great connections with each other through the screens, but they're able to make connections with the viewers, I think, which is so interesting. So we're going to mostly focus on our top five. So our top five for Joey, Shubham, Sammy, Chris, and Rebecca, aka Seaburn, who was the only catfish who made it to the end. And that order that I just named them in is the order from first to fifth place that they came in. But I have to say, early on, from the beginning, my two faves were Chris and Sammy. And I'm going to tell you why. Chris, because Chris was just, like, he brought humor. He was 100% real from the jump. And he just, I think his personality and energy came through in his messages from the beginning. Sammy as well, she came in very strong-minded, but still relatable and stood her ground. And I also think, like, the fact that she came in there, she's like, I'm not here to flirt and all this other stuff. Like, I'm here to win. I appreciated that. Joey grew on me, because Joey at the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, I literally cannot. I thought Joey was going to be like Jersey Shore, whatever. Like, I just couldn't. But Joey actually grew on me to the point that in the end, I was just like, oh my gosh, I really like Joey. Shubham, I liked Shubham in the beginning. I did question some of his motivation and choices as far as, like, his relationship, because he was very much so like, people need to be real, all this other stuff. And I felt like sometimes it clouded his judgment and some of the decisions that he made. But overall, he was very sweet. Like Sammy said, like, someone you just want to, like, squeeze his cheeks or whatever. Like, he had that innocence about him. And he also was, like, the one who's like, oh, I'm not on social media and all this other stuff. And he truly came on to prove, like, you could pretty much win by being your true self. And he was his true self, and he made it to the second spot. And then we have Rebecca, aka Seaburn, which was hilarity for me, because he was essentially portraying his actual girlfriend. So he was using her images, and he found himself in all these weird situations because all the other girls think that he's also a girl. So he finds himself in conversations about boys and conversations about periods, which I thought was that I was in tears during that conversation. He was like, oh, I get this weird pain on my left side, like, died laughing, so funny. Also, like, the little date between him and Alex, or Adam, aka Alex, two catfishes trying to be on a date, hilarious. Also, one of the cutest moments, I think, as far as, like, people finding out who people were, was between Seaburn and Alex when they meet each other and realize that they're both catfishes and they're portraying other people. And they're both, like, kind of dorky. Like, I feel like they had a good mix of, like, muscly, but they still were smart, and then, like, kind of dorky, and then, like, strong-willed. Like, it was a good mix of personalities all around. I can't remember the first girl's name. Alana, I think, was her name, the one who got eliminated first. I was not sad to see her go. Like, I was like, okay, whatever, she's going. Because she just did not resonate with me immediately like some of these other people did. And I think the strongest five people, as far as, like, gameplay and how they interacted, made it to the end. I'm glad that five OGs made it to the end. So I love the characters. I'm calling them characters. I love the people on the show. I love those bonding moments that they had with each other when they got super personal. Like, we had a moment between Sammy and Shubham when Sammy was talking about, like, kind of the work that she does with kids, and they kind of connected on that. Joey connected with everyone and found himself in, like, very sweet moments. He had the moment with Sean when he ended up eliminating her after she revealed, and Sean, I almost cried during when Sean revealed herself to the other girls, and or not, was it the other girls? Yeah, because it was only two girls. I say in quotes because Rebecca was Seaburn. But there were two girls left and Chris. So she revealed herself to the two girls and Chris. And then that was on a cliffhanger. I mean, I almost cried on that one because, like, I could feel and understand what she was talking about. But then also, like, that moment that she had with Joey. And I think Joey did a great job. I think he played a great game, but I think he did a great job of just being able to make decisions that necessarily probably in any other setting, people would have been angry with him. But he was able to still come face to face with people and connect with them on a level that he could be like, so this is why I made the decision. It's not personal. I love you as a person. Like all these things he did it with Sean. I thought that was a great moment. He did it with Miranda, even though it turned into like this kissing moment. I was like, okay, this was not what I was expecting from this show. It was so random. And I was like, oh my gosh. But he did it with Miranda. And then he even made those really close connections through the screen. We saw it with Shubi, as AKA Shubi, which is what everyone called him. We saw that connection like just palpitate through the screen and even carry over into real life when they actually connected. And even Shubham and Seaburn, even though Shubham thought he was talking to Rebecca, like you could still see, because like, and Seaburn immediately wanted to connect with Shubham because he felt like they kind of had like similarities. And so you could see that as well. And it was great to see when we got to the finale and they all met up for that dinner. Even though, you know me, I was like, okay, this y'all gotta let Seaburn come in last because he's the catfish. But they had him come in second, and it was him and Shubham, and gave them time to actually talk, which I thought was a really good move. And it helped them be able to like kind of get on the same page. But yeah, I loved all the top five. I thought they played the game really great. Let's talk about Karen, because this goes into some of the reactions that we had to the people who got blocked. And then when they did their video, watching everyone's expressions when people who got blocked left their videos, I was literally, I don't know. I just know I was screaming. I was like laughing so hard. The reactions were priceless. And Karen's departure was, I think, the best reaction from everyone, because she is a lesbian. So she did not come in as her own self. She came in as someone else, Mercedes. It was completely different from what she really looks like. I love the moment that she had with Chris, that they got to connect on that level. And I really hope that they like still are like able to have that connection in real life. But that video, when she revealed who she really was and everyone's expression, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Because I was just so ready for all of the catfish to be caught, just so I could see the reactions from people. Because like, what was his name? Bill said, because he kind of left on a bitter note. And he was from Chicago. I was like, come on, Chicago, seriously. you gotta get further. You gotta be better. But he kind of left on a bitter note. And he was like, this is, everyone's playing a fake game or whatever. But I think it does, coming in at that stage, like Bill and like Ed and his mom, it's like you get there and it does seem kind of fake, and everyone's so happy, lovey, and everyone has these very well-scripted kind of responses. But if you kind of go back to the beginning, they all kind of have been that way. And also to put that in connection with kind of their own personal dialogue in their apartments and being able to see that, like you could see a struggle with themselves trying to figure out like, how do I respond? Kind of like waiting to see what other people say. And I think one of the other things that makes this such a great show is the fact that it is very much like social media, where people are reacting based on how other people react. It seems like there's this facade and no one's actually being their real self. You don't even really know who's who. Is it a real person? Is it a catfish? Everyone has these filters over themselves. So I think that this was a really great show in kind of digging into kind of that social media aspect in a competition type of a setting, but also not dwelling so much on them like being alone. Cause it's like, is this going to be them complaining about being on their own? But it's like, no, at the first episode or two, it was like, everyone was getting kind of used to it. But as we went through it, like I said, it's just everyone's personalities jumped off the screen Joey, come to find out, has been on acting, or is like an actor in real life, and he's like trying to get his foot off the ground or whatever. He lives in LA. Didn't know that, but I'm glad he didn't sit on the show, because then I probably would have changed my perception of him. Chris, I want someone to give Chris something. Chris needs to be on somebody something, because he just has too much personality to just not be doing something. Someone needs to give Chris something. Listen to me. It's coming from me. Give him a show. Netflix, do something. Give him a little, like, a special thing. He can do it on YouTube, or he can do, like, a little Netflix special where he interviews. I don't know. He needs a show. Because he was so good. Like, he was so good. And he's quick on his feet. And this is just like, oh, my gosh. Even when we got to the live, like, reunion part of it, he was still good on his feet. I was like, come on. Give him something. But let's talk about how we got to the end. So they do their last rankings. Ed ends up leaving because he's ranked 6th. So he's out. So we have the top 5. I'm like, okay, we're halfway through the 11th episode. There's only one episode left. There's only one of a few ways we can do this. Either the last episode is going to be like some type of a live reunion type of a thing, because you guys know I watched the challenge, and like at the end of a challenge, there's a live reunion. So that's what I'm thinking the last episode is. But I was like, oh, it would be cool if they kind of like revealed who the winner was and they all met in real life. So I thought they were kind of going to do that. And they're like, oh, they're going to meet at dinner. I was like, oh my gosh. You guys, I stayed up. I didn't even tell y'all. Because you guys know, Currently Binging is supposed to drop on Wednesdays. But the show drops on Wednesdays. So I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? On Tuesday night, I'm going to just stay up until midnight, and I'm going to try to watch all 4 episodes. Nope, I fell asleep at like 11 o'clock. Literally, I fell asleep. And I was like, okay, so that's not going to work. And then I was like, okay, Wednesdays are a long day for me anyway. So I was like, oh, I'll just watch it when I get home. Now that means I have to watch 4 episodes. That's 4 hours. And I didn't get home till 10. So I stayed up till like 2 o'clock. Because I was like, I got to finish this, because I have to record this, because I got stuff to say. But yeah, so I love the dinner and them all meeting each other. And just, it seemed like they still genuinely had the same feelings when they were at the dinner table. And then to see it carry over into like the reunion setting, and being able to see some of those people who came, who were blocked throughout the game, be able to come back and kind of like check in with them. So I don't know, but I really enjoyed The Circle. What else? I talked about the finalists. I talked about some of the behind the scenes. I talked about the tech. Talked about the concept. Game strategy. You guys, I watched The Challenge. So I'm all about, you need to have some strategy. You need to like try to win the game. I think some people play the game great. Seaburn for sure played the game great, because he made it to the end as a catfish. Like the ultimate catfish. So kudos to him. But I think as far as like getting some people out, I mean, I guess they all kind of had their own way of playing it. But I don't know. I just want a little more like people trying to like actually be like, so this is what I'm going to do to get to this and this and this. I felt like Joey was kind of getting there towards the end, but I kind of wanted that throughout. But let's talk about season 2. Because I was like, this shouldn't be a long episode, but here we are. Let's talk about season 2. As of now, there has been no news on if we're going to get a season 2 of The Circle. I honestly cannot see us not getting a season 2 of The Circle, because surprisingly, when I Google The Circle Netflix, I have yet to see an article trashing the show. And the part of the reason I continue to watch the show, not only because I was like, oh, I want to see what happens next, but during the 4 episode drop, I literally Googled to see if I should watch or skip it, and everyone was like, watch it. So that also played a factor into it. But I think because of how the show is, it's such a unique show, and this generally is what happens, which is why I usually end up no longer watching things kind of like this, is because the first season is so unique, and I feel like everyone comes in genuinely not knowing what to expect or what to do. And so now anyone who comes in after for like a season 2 or season 3, they now kind of have this blueprint in a way. And so I feel like then it starts to, I mean, season 2, maybe not so much, especially if they filmed it like back to back to back where people didn't get a chance to actually watch it, then okay. But if they're giving it space and time between for people to be able to watch like a previous season, then it gets to the point where in the season, as we get further and further in seasons, like, is this genuine? Like, this seems a little more scripted. This isn't as fun as it was in the first season. So I hope and pray that if we do get season two, it still seems genuine. It seems still seems fun and still feels like you can connect to people, and that they don't try to like mess around with the format of the show too much. But I mean, what do I know? I'm just stating my opinions. But yeah, so I mean, you guys know I'm just like, do we need a season two? No, we don't. But I mean, I would be interested in seeing what a season two looks like. And then based on how season two plays out, then I would be like, okay, what does a season three look like? So I mean, there's room for discussion here, folks. But that's pretty much all I have to say about The Circle. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I was ready every Wednesday to watch the next four episodes. Now I don't know how I'm going to occupy my time with a little bit of reality TV because I don't watch anything else, but that's neither here or there. I want to know what you guys thought about The Circle. Who was your favorite person on The Circle? Do you want to see a season two of The Circle? Let me know all of the things. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter, at Current Binge on Twitter, at Currently Binging on Instagram, or you can go to my personal Instagram at In Her Glam and you can talk to me there. Either way, let me know. I want to know, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. You guys, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got Sabrina coming up. We got our freaking The Rest of the Crisis coming up. We got stuff happening. So make sure you subscribe and stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys soon. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge. We'll be right back.